I greet each of you in Christ's name this morning. I do count it a privilege to stand before you to preach. Might feel a little different yet. Appreciate it, the song that was sung in the beginning of the share time. Faith is a living power from heaven, which grasps the promise God has given, securely fixed on Christ alone. This morning I have entitled my message, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. Before I get into the message, just a few comments on the opening this morning. I appreciate it, the focus on taking time for the things that are important. Recently read a short writing that went along very well along those lines, entitled Busyanity. And just really was an encouragement to take time for the things that are important, not just for the things that are good things. And if you want a copy of that writing, I'd encourage you to contact the author, Mary Jane Nisley. It was very worth reading, and I appreciate that, Mary Jane, for taking the time to write that. This morning on Thinking of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, I'll be looking at the Gospel according to the Apostle John. I'll be looking at quite a number of references within the book of John. You're welcome to follow along or listen, whatever your preference is. We notice that the purpose for John writing the book is found in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. We've grown up with the teaching that, yeah, we believe that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Son of God. Most of us have heard that from ever since we can remember. But do we really believe that he is the Christ? And I think we do ourselves harm when we simply assume that everyone will accept it at face value and make it a part of their life. I think it's something that we don't want to assume too much. Marvin Miller made the statement last Sunday morning in the opening that believing that Jesus is the Son of God is life-changing, and that is what it is. It is a life-changing thing if we truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I'd like to, first of all, just simply look at the witnesses that John refers to that proclaim Jesus as being the Christ. Jesus himself said, if he is the only witness, his witness isn't true. Christ saw the importance of having witnesses to verify of him being the Christ, the Son of God. I'd like to first look at John chapter 1. In verses 29 through 34, we have the account of John the Baptist. Maybe I'll just read those verses. John 1, verses 29 through 34. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So we have John the Baptist as a witness of who Jesus is. Over in chapter 10, verse 41. It says, "And many," referring to Jesus, "and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there." So John's witness was something that confirmed in some people's mind that Jesus was the chosen one of God. We have scripture pointing to Christ as being the Messiah, the Christ. In chapter 4, verse 39, I'm sorry, I've got a scripture incorrectly there. John 5, 46 through 47. "And for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" It was chapter 5, verse 39. The wrong chapter. It says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are which testify, and they are they which testify of me." So we have scripture being a witness that Jesus is the Christ. We have the disciples in John 15, verse 27. It's more of a future tense in this verse. "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Looking at several of the, in the writing of the epistles, that was also a witness. And we look at the Gospels written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These writings of the apostles is a witness of Jesus being the Christ. In chapter 1, verse 41, we have Andrew. Says, "He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. Christ, the anointed one. He is proclaiming Christ, or proclaiming Jesus as the Christ. And down in verse 49, we have Nathanael. Says, "Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." We have Peter in chapter 6, verse 68 and 69. "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Over in chapter 9, here we have the account of Jesus healing the man that was born blind. And his response when he, at the end, in verse, maybe I'll read verse 35 through 38. Chapter 9, 35 to 38. Says, "Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him." We have Martha giving witness in chapter 11, in verse 27. This was before the Lazarus coming back to life, when Jesus was talking with her. And then she responds in verse 27, she saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." We have the witness of the Samaritans in chapter 4. In verse 29, the Samaritan woman says, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And in verse 41 and 42, a response of the other Samaritans, "And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, For we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So we have quite a number of human witnesses to Christ, to Jesus being the Christ. We also have the witness of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 1, in the account of John the Baptist giving witness to Jesus being the Christ, we have the Spirit coming in the form of a dove and dwelling on Christ. So we have the Spirit of witness there, as well as in chapter 15, verse 26. It's referring to the Spirit in future tense, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And today, we also are witnesses to Jesus being the Christ. In chapter 17, in the high priestly prayer, Christ includes us as being potential witnesses of Christ. In 17, verse 21, verses 20 and 21, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. As the world sees the unity of the church, as we follow our head, Jesus Christ, it is convincing to the world of Jesus being the Christ. We also have the Father giving witness. God the Father, in chapter 5, verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. We don't have the account in John of how God spoke, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. But it just says that the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Also in chapter 8, verse 18, it says, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. And we also have sort of a different style of witnesses in the book of John, and that is the chief rulers, perhaps sort of a silent witness. In chapter 7, verse 26, it says, starting verse 25, then says some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? So by the chief rulers' actions, they were sort of causing questions in people's minds to wonder, well, are they actually believing that Jesus is the Christ? And over in chapter 12, verse 42, it says that nevertheless among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So we have, including those who don't accept him as Lord, still being a witness, they realize that he was the Christ, even though they did not accept him as such. So I would call them silent witnesses to Jesus being the Christ. Another powerful witness of Jesus was the works that he accomplished. In chapter 2, verse 23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. And in chapter 3, verse 2, in the conversation with Nicodemus, Nicodemus says, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And in chapter 5, verse 36, but I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And over in chapter 10, verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And 14:11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. I'd like to continue on with some of the miracles that Christ did, just examples of how the works that he did was convincing to people of who he was. In chapter 2, verse 11, this was after Christ turned the water into wine at the wedding in Cana. And the response after this miracle, in verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. It was convincing to the disciples, convincing or confirming to them that he was the Christ. In chapter 9, again, the response of the man who was born blind and his healing, it was convincing to him when he said, Lord, I believe. It showed to him that Jesus was the Christ. And also at Lazarus, coming back to life in chapter 11, wasn't sure how much to read here. Maybe starting in verse 45, this was after Lazarus came back to life. It says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. And later, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. So the rulers were recognized that if this man continues on with the works that he's doing, the whole nation is going to go after him and believing in him. I'd like to look at the claims that Jesus makes of himself, of who he is. And again, in chapter 5, verse 31, it says, Jesus' own words, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. But he had a lot of witnesses that he is the Christ. And it gives him the right to make these claims of who he is. In chapter 4, in speaking with the Samaritan woman, he proclaims himself as the Christ. In verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. In chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Jesus is that which gives substance to life. He is the essence of life. And later on, he says, I am life. In verse 48, it says, I am that bread of life. In 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So Jesus, he is the bread of life. In chapter 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He is the light, and as we allow him to dwell in our hearts, it allows us to walk in light. We can see. We can live with vision, with purpose. In chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. And in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He is the door through which we must enter to inherit life. In verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. This whole thing of Jesus being the door, being the shepherd, it is that which gives security, protection for us as we believe in him. In chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Jesus is the resurrection. He is the life. And in 14, verse 6, it's a very familiar verse, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For Jesus to make the statement that no one can come to the Father but by him only, a person who doesn't have that right to say it, it's an arrogant statement. But because of who Jesus was, he had the right to say that he is the only way. And it was not an arrogant statement. It was truth being spoken. In chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine. He is the connection to the Father. As was just sort of a confirming of how Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So these are different claims that Jesus made about himself. A few things that Jesus could do because he was the Son of God. In chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Jesus knew the hearts. He knew what was driving people to do the things they did. He knew them inside out in a way that we don't know people. And also in chapter 7, verse 24, he says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Christ could make accurate judgments because he knew what was in the heart of each individual. Jesus had the power to forgive. We don't have quite as vivid an account in John, but the account in chapter 8, as he relates to the woman caught in adultery, at the end he says, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Christ was extending forgiveness to her. And that is something, while we forgive other people for their actions, Christ could forgive to a different level than we can forgive. He can forgive the sin nature. So Christ has the power to forgive. Christ had the power to foretell the future, and having a perfect understanding of what he spoke about. Christ, God spoke through prophets in Old Testament times, and they might have understood in part, but Christ, when he foretold the future, he understood perfectly what was going to happen. In chapter 14, verse 29, says, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. And over in chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. So Christ foretold events that were going to happen, and told them, when these things happen, Remember that I told you about them. It will help you believe. So Christ could foretell the future and understand perfectly what he was talking about. Christ had the right to claim a kingdom that was not a part of this world. In his interaction with Pilate in chapter 18, verse 36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." We can be a part of the kingdom, but we don't possess the kingdom. We're not the head of the kingdom the way Christ is. He is the one, because of being the Son of God, has the right to possess and have that kingdom that is not of this world. I'd like to look at some of the benefits or rewards of those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Sometimes we like the idea of what are some great works that we can do for God. And I think Jesus has a pretty profound answer for that. In chapter 6, verse 29, Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." So if you want to get involved in doing work for the Lord, work for God, believe. In chapter 7, in verse 37 and 38, a benefit for those who believe. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." We like the idea of those rivers of living water flowing out of our lives. Sometimes we might not see them. Let's not concentrate on the rivers. Concentrate on believing, and as we believe, the rivers are a response of that belief. In chapter 8, we can experience freedom in believing in Jesus. In verse 31, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Down in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Freedom comes in believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In chapter 12, verse 44 through 46, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." As we believe in Christ, we experience light. We don't have to walk in darkness, wandering about aimlessly. And in chapter 14, in verses 1 through 3, familiar verses, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." For those who believe in Jesus, there is a prepared place to dwell with him forever. And in chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." As we believe in God, as we believe in Jesus, he empowers us to do greater works than what Jesus did. I'm not sure what all is included in that, but notice, it is that the Father may be glorified. It's not to draw attention to ourselves, but it's for the glory of the Father that he empowers us to do his work. And we have the benefit of having everlasting life. Several verses on that. In chapter 5, verse 24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And in chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, again, a verse that we wrote, maybe just 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And in chapter 17, verse 2, maybe I'll read verse 1 first. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Christ has the power to extend eternal life to whoever comes to him in faith, believing that he is. I'd like to look at the example of Thomas. After the resurrection, Thomas doubted, and Christ, let me read the account here. In verse 29 of chapter 20, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Believing in Jesus as the Christ for us, we haven't seen Christ in his physical form, but it's important that we believe that he is. And he says, we are blessed if we believe, even if we have not seen. I'd like to look at John chapter 3. There we have some very familiar verses. I'll be reading verses 14 through 17. And I want for us all to recite verse 16 together as we go over that verse. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life altogether. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The flip side is, in the next verse, he that believeth not is condemned already. Let's believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. God is life-giving. And if we want to experience life, we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And as because he is the Son of God, he was qualified to die, to be the perfect sacrifice, to provide redemption for all mankind. Again, I'd just like to read those two verses. The purpose for John writing the Gospel of John says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. There's a lot more that could be said about the gospel according to the Apostle John, but these are some things that stood out to me in just again affirming that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Savior of the world, he is the Son of God, he is the only one through whom we can come to the Father. Let's kneel in prayer. Father, this morning we come to you in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you that that is the only way that we can come to you, and that way is sufficient. It is enough that whoever comes to you will be received. Lord, help us to believe, and as we believe, allow it to transform our lives so that we can also be a witness to the life-changing experience in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your faithfulness and for redemption. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Levon, for that appropriate song on bringing Christ our worthiness. I mean, saying he is worthy. I failed to come back to volunteers for the Mennonite Manor singing. Is there anyone that sees their way clear to do that this evening besides the ones who have already volunteered? Well, we'll see what Amos has to say. Maybe he can make some contacts. All right, we're ready to close. You can stand for a word of prayer.